Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today we're going to deal with a topic that is a little different twist on the Peter Principle. Remember the old book? No, this is Christ's Peter Principle. Let's get started. It says in Philippians 3, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. We'd so much like to think that the older we get in the Lord, the saintlier we get. In fact, whole denominations are built on this notion. Of course, there is some validity to this, but there is also a tension, if you would, as well, for the more mature we become in Christ, the more taintlier we realize we are in comparison to our dear Savior. Paul claimed that he had not already attained, just as we read before, or been perfected or had apprehended, because he is referring to his goal, the prize of the upward call. That is his final transformation. Pressing on is not Paul's asserting a quest for self-improvement. Laying hold is to take hold of, so as to make one's own, to perceive, to take into oneself. So what he's expressing is what, quote, Christ wants for me is what I want, and the only way that happens is when I stop ruminating the past and instead surrender more completely to him. The prize is his upward call. See 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 54 to see more on that. Now, regarding the inner man, he wrote in Colossians 2, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, get this, are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. That's Colossians 2, 6 through 10. Now, while the writer of Hebrews, speaking of the presence of our inner beings in heaven, said in Hebrews 12, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, some would characterize Paul as a ever gung-ho, you can't hold me back kind of guy. Well, maybe so, but what he asserted in this passage in Philippians has much less to do with spiritual accomplishment and more to do with character, relationships, and facing the balance of your life when you know that much water has passed under your bridge, so to speak. You could say it's an attitude necessary for finishing well. It's fundamentally about trust. Now, perhaps you've accomplished much, perhaps you've suffered much. Perhaps you think you've failed greatly and repeatedly. Perhaps you think there's a reason to boast or be thankful. Or perhaps there are woeful regrets. Well, Paul had them all, Perhaps you do as well. Focusing on the past, we can be swung from castigation to congratulation, back and forth. But both are balls and chains to the spirit-filled believer. And of course, Satan knows this, so he endeavors to fix our attention there. Now, how do you get out of the pendulum swing and reestablish trust? Paul was as fed up as you and I are with the failures of the flesh, but there is one way to deal with them, one thing to do. He said it, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know, the fact that the Greek itself is more emphatic, it says truly forgetting. Okay, you say, but truly forgetting is truly difficult. And sometimes that's truly true. But there's a principle, a tool, if you would, that is very helpful. It's called repentance, a complete change of mind. You see, both ends of the pendulum involve self-focus, which interferes with your relationship with our Lord, and with others. Combined with confession and trust, these three tools are invaluable to us as believers. That's because sinful attitudes of the flesh are typically kind of sticky. But Christ understands this and even coached Peter in it. We can call it the spiritual Peter principle. It is prefaced by these two points. God promised to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sin. Everyone knows that. That's 1 John 1:9. And as with the woman caught in adultery, he says, go and sin no more. But dear Peter was perplexed because someone was evidently a repeat offender, and he wanted to know just how far this forgiveness deal went. Matthew 18 says, and Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Christ's Peter principle reveals something to us about the heart of God. He hates sin, but he loves you. Paul could reach forward to those things which are ahead, because he was absolutely confident of his Father's love and forgiveness. Towards the end of his life, he could justly boast of his sufferings for Christ, as in 2 Corinthians 11, and yet he came to esteem himself as the chief of sinners. See 1 Timothy 1:15. Yes, chief of sinners, but still complete and sinless in Christ. How does that work? He wrote in Romans 2, or do you despise the riches of goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Paul could write that because he experienced it and told us in Romans 7, for what I'm doing I do not understand, for what I will to do that I do not practice, but what I hate that I do. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Romans 7, 15, 19, and 23. Paul wrote of what we can call the stickiness of sin, or persistence of the flesh, in which case repentance is not always a one-and-done thing. Speaking of this, Jesus told all his disciples, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. That's Luke 17, 3 and 4. Now, as a believer, all your sin is forgiven. All your sin. Your inner being is clean before God because of Christ. Your salvation is absolutely secure. This repentance is not about your salvation. It's about your relation to others and your ability to go forward in trust and to have peace. The relationship between believers is immensely important to God. Jesus said in John 13, "By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And understand, repentance, though it is a valuable tool, is not intended as a free pass, so to speak, for continuing in sin. Paul also wrote, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That's Romans 6, 1-4. Now, Christ's Peter principle regarding sin is simply confess, repent, trust, and never stop trusting God. That's how you, along with Paul, can keep forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's your peace, the peace that Christ gives. Remember, in Christ, your soul, your inner being is complete, perfect in God's eyes. It's a finished work. Your final transformation, your own upward call, it will follow in God's time. So abide in him, trust him, love him, for he loves you. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.